Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York. Good morning, East Coast. Good morning, everybody building an ark, because it's been raining on the East Coast, I'm pretty sure, for like four straight days.
I was wondering what my neighbor was doing with all those hammers and animals.
I gotta tell you something. Well, the animals aren't a problem, but the it's hard to build a ship big enough to. I'm telling you, we got 6 inches in like 2 days, and it was supposed to be gone today, and it's not. So listen, when we give you these games today, make sure you check your weather. It's always a good idea to, if you go to any site online for, you know, Vegas odds and scores and things like that, all of them will have the projected weather. The Weather Channel does that. Everybody's into that nowadays, so there's no reason. The one thing you want to be careful of, I love this, I'm starting off. You know, you can tell what I was doing the last hour. I've been handicapping still. Let's see. We have some great games in the NFL today. And I was going to go see the Packers and the Ravens play just to go to the game, you know, just to hang out. But then I started thinking about it. You know, if I go to that game, even if I leave early, say I leave at 3, you know, like before the start of the fourth quarter or so, it takes me over an hour to get home. If there's traffic or an accident, it'll be more like 2 hours. I'll miss all of that great, you know, stuff going on at 4 o'clock for the second game. Of course, I'm talking Eastern Standard Time. If you're on the West Coast and you're listening to me, and we do have listeners on the West Coast, I've checked, it's early there. You know, Matt, I don't know if you've ever been out west when the games are going on, but the greatest thing about that is you wake up in the morning, you have breakfast, and the NFL starts. You don't have to go through these, you know, 2 and 3 hours of hearing the same thing over and over and over again about, like, what happened last week, who's going to win this game, what's, you know. I can't stand it.
If I could handle that, just because, well, unlike you, I am still a drinker, and once that first game starts, that's when I'm like, oh, maybe I should go get beer. I don't think I could handle having to have that thought at 10 a.m.
You know, pretty sure most places on the West Coast are in the Western time zone. Where they do have liquor by the drink and they can serve beer on Sundays. Because there are still blue laws around the country where you can't buy alcohol. Really?
Yeah.
You can't buy beer on Sundays. But I'm pretty sure in California, you pretty much can buy it anytime. And I'm pretty sure Sunday, it doesn't matter. Unless you're like up in the mountains somewhere near Oregon.
I'm just talking about habit-wise. I don't want to be that
well, that's
morning
right.
drinker.
I forget you put it in the refrigerator around here, don't you?
Yeah.
Now, I tell you what, it's going to be a great day for football. 2-1-0 ball games. I mean, watching the American League and National League Championship Series is right now going on. You know, we got to see two great games. We saw the Detroit Tigers, Anibal Sanchez throws a no-hitter for 6 innings, and then 4 relief pitchers come in and only give up 1 hit in the 9th inning, but they made it interesting. Some pretty horrible base running going on in those games too. I mean, it's kind of funny. I thought Joe West did a great job in the game that he was watching. I fell asleep last night. I probably fell asleep around 11, 11:30, because I got up at 5 a.m. to basically put the show together today. And, you know, and by the way, for those of you that just turned the radio on to hear Roy's, you know, magnificent voice, he's not supposed to be here today, but just got something from him, texted just a little while ago saying he was on 95 and on his way up. So maybe he's decided that, you know, he could make it today. Something's going on. When you have little kids, there's all kinds of parties and, you know, you're babysitting the parents' house and you're doing all kinds of things. The good news for Roy was West Virginia didn't play this week, so they didn't have to worry about
that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Homer's a West Virginia fan with teeth, which is really great. You know, Roy, I swear, Roy, probably next time he goes to Morgantown, he's probably going to have a disguise on because, you know how home team, you know, fans are. I mean, they can't sometimes see the forest for the trees. I mean, they're too close to the situation to be able to make a decent call. And it looks like there's a chance that Oliver Luck, who is the athletic director at West Virginia University, he either interviewed this week or he's interviewing next week for the job at Southern Cal. I wonder if he'll take Dana Holgorsen to Southern Cal with him. I'm thinking no. They're making a big push for the guy that's in there now that's taken over. And ESPN hired Lane Kiffin, which, you know, go figure. I mean, the guy is a rock star, I guess. I mean, he can't do any wrong. He's a good-looking guy. Let's face it. He's like a real good-looking, tall, bigger form of John Gruden with a hot wife. I mean, just a beautiful wife. Not that that's, you know, any makes him a better coach, but it certainly does young men a favor when she shows up at a, you know, like at a pep rally with him, and not one person's listening to a word he's saying. They're just staring at his wife because they got testosterone, those kids, when they're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. We're gonna have a couple of people. We're gonna have Chuck Todd on today. He comes on, is it 10:30 or 11:30? I think he's coming on at 10:32.
I think he's, yes.
Chuck Todd, you know, is a Meet the Press guy. Chuck Todd is the White House correspondent for NBC. Chuck Todd, I love the guy on Twitter. You can follow him at Chuck Todd NBC, I think. That's his Twitter handle. Mine is at Bruce Hall Sports, and you really should follow me because I have got, I mean, if I send it to you or I retweet it to you, you need to know it. If you're a sports person, you absolutely have got to know it. I just celebrated my 26th wedding anniversary this weekend. Thank you very much. With my beautiful wife and saint of a person, Carol Williams Hall. And we went out the other night for dinner with my son and his girlfriend and my daughter, Emily. My son's name is Davis. His girlfriend's name is Sarah. And we all went out and had a great time. And it was pouring down rain, though, like the entire time. I mean, it's nothing worse than driving the Beltway or the Dulles Toll Road with a lot of traffic when, you know, you're hydroplaning, basically, even if you've got brand new tires. You either can go as fast as you can, just so if you start spinning, you won't hit anything, you'll keep going straight, or you go slow. I mean, there's really no in-between. For all you young kids out there, be careful when you're on the road when it's raining. For all you people out there who English isn't your first language and you're struggling to even be able to tell what I'm saying on the radio, learn how to drive, would you please? That's all I ask you to do. And that's all I ask. And people out there know what I'm talking about. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see. Give us a call today. We're looking for phone calls. The New York Giants, we're going to talk about a little bit. I don't want to talk about him too much because I don't want to make people out there suicidal in New York.
Little loser here.
Yeah, they're struggling. John Mara, you know, I'm available if you need another general manager. I'd actually work for you. I might even do it for free just to save you some money so you can buy some players that can block and that can tackle and that can throw the ball. I don't think Eli is the problem. I think Eli's attitude right now is a problem, but I think it's because nobody knows what to say to a guy that's got two Super Bowl rings already, and he doesn't seem to be able to hit anybody in stride. It's, you know, he's used to throwing to receivers that actually can read a defense and run the right route. None of these guys can run the right route, and, you know, you got a couple of guys looking forward to the future a little too much. Maybe they're not going to be Giants forever. And you guys know who I'm talking about. And if you're listening to the show, I'll find it hard to believe because you're probably eating breakfast right now or you're in a team meeting. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. for Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and my favorite co-host in the world just came in, and it's horrible out there on 95 North. And it's also Avery's, actually 95 South, and it's Avery's birthday today.
Yes.
And he's, what is he, five?
No, he's three.
He's three.
He's just built like a
five. He looks five. He looks five. You know why I said five? Mikey's five.
Because
Matt's little boy is five.
The scouts are listening, so you wanted to make sure you.
Yeah,
is he five? 54 pounds.
Can I tell you what? It doesn't matter. You can be a 20. You can be a 25-year-old freshman now, and you'll be just fine. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm here with Roy Edwards and Matt Lynch, and we're getting ready to talk football. We got Chuck Todd calling in, and when he calls in, I don't know how long he's going to be on for, but he's calling in around after the next break. And then we're going to have Tony Mazur on to finish us off. Sean Salisbury could not be on this week. He'll be on next week. He's just got all kinds of wild stuff going on. One thing I want to talk about, Roy, before we get into the football bad, is just a senseless tragedy that happened this week. And with Adrian Peterson's 2-year-old son, who he doesn't live with, he evidently fathered a child with another woman.
It wasn't Adrian Peterson Jr., which
I think everybody,
not that it makes it any better.
I think everybody knows that by now if they're paying attention. But yeah, when it early happened, they thought it was the boy, that the little 2-year-old that he's always with. Yeah. I mean, that kid is just cute as a button anyway. But listen, there's a couple of things to take out of that. And if you follow me on Twitter at Bruce Hall Sports or Roy on at Sports Man Cave, you'll know that we were kind of all over that thing. But the one thing we both agreed with is it doesn't matter which kid, what 2-year-old it was that got beat on by a grown man and killed. It's a senseless tragedy. It's ridiculous. And it's just, I don't know if it's, Roy, I don't know if it's because of Twitter and because of Facebook and because of, the way that the social media is today, where everybody reports this stuff as soon as it happens. And my God, I read the New York Post every day just about. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a tabloid, but it's got some of the most nasty, rotten stuff that people do. And you got to remember, there's 300 million people in our country. And so, when these things happen, even though it's only here and there, it's still bad. And I got to tell you something. People that are adults by age doesn't mean that they need to be in society. A guy like that has had problems. Evidently, they found, and this was reported yesterday, he had the same problem with a 3-year-old somewhere else. And so this guy, the good news is they got him off the street. He's not going to get on the street anytime soon, ever.
He's been arrested and charged with aggressive assault and aggressive assault, aggravation on an infant.
That was the information before the child actually passed.
Yeah, so and then that was on Friday. And then as soon as he passed, the DA office released saying that they were pushing for additional charges, but that was what he had been.
Well, they're going to try. Yeah, they're going to try to see what they can get him
for.
With
a little under a
million. I mean, it might have to be second degree murder. They're not going to charge him with first degree murder because it might not stick. The guy might walk. Second degree murder, a lot better chance. Manslaughter, they could probably put him in jail for 20 years and not give him any parole. And then, knowing a guy like that, he won't make it 20 years in jail anyway. I mean, look at Ariel Castro.
It all depends.
He hung himself. Now they say he was having, whatever you do. I don't even want to even say it on the radio because I don't want to put any ideas in anybody's head. But I personally think that somebody just got him. I think somebody just did society a favor and got rid of the guy because he was going to cost society, taxpayers in Ohio, because he wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't going to federal prison. He was going to do time in Ohio. He saved the Ohio taxpayers, a couple million dollars? By committing suicide. Well, thank you very much, Ariel Castro. It's too bad you didn't think about those little girls you kidnapped and you raped and you just totally. I mean, you know, but that stuff happens. But let's talk about sports now. Now that I've got everybody down in the dumps on a rainy day, this is the rain. Oh, that's not funny. Listen, Roy, I really wanted to go see the Ravens play today.
And, I don't know why you would.
Well, can I tell you what? As soon as I got in the car, no, they're not going to get destroyed. I've got the Ravens today. Hey, listen. I'm not even going to ask you the question because you don't know the answer to it. What's Flacco's record against the NFC? 10-0, Roy. Yeah, I know. I knew you knew that.
Was that before or
it's 10-0 right now against the NFC? And
what's his passer rating?
I don't even care.
Probably more.
See, that's
of a
your problem.
Team.
You think about passer ratings instead of Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know what?
Trent Dilfer has a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, well, Trent Dilfer deserved his Super Bowl ring. He had the best game he had all year in the Super Bowl, and they played a New York Giant team, by the way, that was horrible that year. And even all of our Giant faithful who live, and God bless all of you wherever you are, because if you're a Giant faithful today, and you know what? People are really, I've said this before. Mm-hmm. And don't drink too much of that because I don't want you jumping in front of the conversation anymore when I'm still talking. I always feed Roy Red Bulls. So he loves them.
Is that Dana Holgerson?
Him and Dana Holgerson. That's the only thing him and Dana have in common except for the West Virginia logo everywhere.
By the way, I heard on the way in, I heard you say that
he's gonna maybe
you'll
get the job with Oliver Luck in USC.
But it's Texas.
Texas. I knew it was one of those losing friends. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I put everything around Oklahoma yesterday, everything, and I got beat.
Yeah,
but I hit Oregon. Oregon still hasn't not covered.
That's what I did. That's what I put in my blog.
Just take Oregon right? For whatever.
Well, this week they were what, 14 or something?
No,
like
they
21?
They were 17, I think they were. They were 17 and they covered easily. Yeah, you know what? They were because they were.
They played Washington, right?
Yeah, they were at Washington. Washington's decent. Yeah. I want to say they went off at like 11.
Washington was top 25.
Yeah, and they're tough too.
Just take Oregon until they don't cover.
Yeah,
that's my advice.
But anyway,
kind of like Denver, you know, just do it.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about an NCAA football, but let's get started on the pros. First, let's talk about the New York Jets, because the New York Jets, to me, in my opinion, have turned it around already. The only downside to the Jets is they lost a great linebacker this past week for the season, and they just lost Kellen Winslow, who was quickly becoming, and I could see this with Geno and him. They're about the same size. They're both real big kids. But Kellen Winslow was always there for him, and he's got good hands. And, I mean, he was getting open, and he's blocking. Mm-hmm. He's doing all those big things. Now he sits for four games. You know, they've got a tough game today. And in my opinion, if it wasn't for the injuries, I'd be all over the Jets today.
Yeah, they're playing a very down Steelers team.
Yeah, but you know, the Steelers, you know what I love in this game? I love the under. It's 41 points. How can you not take the under here? Because the Steelers against the Jet defense, they may not score 14 points.
Yeah, the Steelers are bad.
And I don't see the Jets without Kellen Winslow. Yeah. Really, and you know they're going to keep it. You know what they're going to do? They're going to come out. It's going to be a very physical game on both sides of the ball. If you know, I could see Pittsburgh actually winning a game here, but I think the Jets' running game is much better than Pittsburgh's.
Yeah.
And I think
remember that Le'Veon Bell is back. So.
I was just about to say, he is back, and he had that one blow-up. He had that one blow-up game.
Yeah, you hope he gets some yardage, but my point is the Jets' defense isn't who you want to start him against. I mean, the Jets' defense isn't going to let Bell get 80, 90, 100 yards. He might get 40, you know, in 15 carries or something. I just don't see – they don't have the offensive line to open the holes.
They don't.
And that's the sad thing. Now, look. You know, a lot of people were talking. I said I thought Tomlin, this might be his year to go. And there's talk that the Cowher might come back. I don't see Cowher coming back to this
there's
team.
Talk of
Cowher's – you know where Cowher's holding
there's
out
There's talk
for.
Of Bill Cowher everywhere.
Yeah, but do you know where he's going to go?
His name came up in the
he's
West
going Virginia. He's going to Dallas. He's going to go to Dallas.
His name's coming up in the West Virginia coaching
That
search.
Ain't going to happen.
I mean, he's coming
Even
up
though he's from near there.
Everywhere.
You know he's from like near Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
No, and there's a lot of people that played football – that are from near Pittsburgh. But the thing I like about you know, the Jets right now is they are feeling it. And, you know, we said it, Manish Mehta might come on today. I don't think he's going to be able to. He's on another show at 11:30. I haven't been able to get a hold of him, but he's the beat writer for the Jets, the New York Daily News. He's a wonderful guy. Mm-hmm. And we both said it almost at exactly the same time last week. If they don't turn the ball over, they're going to win this game. And they did. They didn't turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's like magic. You don't turn it over, and you run the football, and you play defense, you win. Yeah. You win the game.
I'm still not
what
sold on the Jets, I guess. I
mean, well, you can't be sold on them as a playoff team. Yeah,
they beat Atlanta, but how good is Atlanta really this year? They've only won, what, one game? They're sitting at
Atlanta's
the bottom of the...
Atlanta's terrible. They're going to be 7-9. They're going to be 7-9 this year.
They're a shell of themselves, really, at this point. Well, everyone looks at them and says, okay, this is the Atlanta Falcons. We got to get ready for them. You know, Roddy White.
Why?
Tony
Why?
Gonzalez.
They got no defense.
But exactly. They have no defense.
They got no offensive line. They can't keep. They got Ryan rattled.
And right after their top receiver, you know, had a good, solid game against the Jets, which the Jets.
Oh, he's out
the
for,
Jets
he's down for the year, basically. Julio Jones.
Foot. Yeah, he's done. So the Falcons will be a team.
It's good
that,
for my son. He's got Roddy White.
Yeah. The Falcons will be a team that a lot of. People looked at their team schedules at the beginning of the year and said, oh man, we got to go into Atlanta, or we have Atlanta at home. We can chalk that up as a loss. And now they're looking at it more like, oh, we got Atlanta. The Jets beat Atlanta. We got a shot here. So, look, I like Geno Smith. He's a West Virginia
boy.
Well,
he looked good last week.
And he had the game of his life last week.
Yeah, but look who he played against. I mean, that's exactly right. Yeah. That wasn't so much Geno having a great game.
Right.
What did Geno do? He wasn't scared to make a play, and he didn't turn the ball over. And and give his offensive line credit. He had time to throw last week.
Yeah.
And he didn't throw that much. They ran the ball really a little bit more than he threw the ball, which
he
is
exactly. He only threw for 199.
But see, that's exactly. But he had three touchdowns, no picks.
But that's,
his quarterback rating was phenomenal.
That's Rex Ryan football, though.
Absolutely.
If you've ever looked.
That's
you know,
anybody football.
You watch Mark Sanchez.
That's old Raven football. Old Raven football.
Yeah. Mark Sanchez. When he was, you know, when he was top of the league type of guy, you know, that the Jets thought he were when they gave him the extension, and he went to two back-to-back AFC Championship games. When he was doing that, that was Jets football where he didn't have to do anything. When Mark Sanchez kind of, I don't know, started turning into butt fumble, that was the time where the Jets kind of took the handcuffs off him and said, "Okay, go out there, but." You know, you could pass a little more, but don't make mistakes. And the guy he's a human turnover.
Right.
So if Geno Smith is going to be the next Jets franchise quarterback, which I think he will be, I know there's a lot of people out there who still aren't sold, but he's going to have to take care of the football. And the big thing with Geno Smith, and I saw it all at West Virginia, is when he gets punched in the mouth, how is he going to respond? Because
right.
he's not a rah-rah guy, and he's not one of these guys who is going to step. He's not like a Drew Brees. Drew Brees or some of these guys that have that other trait that step up and start rah-rah and getting your team pumped up and, okay, that was a mistake, but let's go. Geno's not one of those guys, and he was whooped for it at West Virginia for his lack of leadership
skills. But he's going to be fine. And I think what if nothing else, what that game served notice on was that, you know what, this guy's pretty good for – first pick in the second round, and maybe
AFC,
this is the guy we want. The thing I like about Geno, the thing I like about him is he's physical.
Yeah,
he's a big physical kid. He's not going to get hurt easily. He's going to play dinged up a little bit, and his running backs are just going to make him better. Now you throw a couple of
wait till they get a good running.
Yeah, but
back.
You throw a couple of running plays in there for Geno, where you know it's like RG3 stuff.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you call it, the option that they run. You know what? He's going to probably get you 30, 40 yards a game on three or four carries, and that's going to keep the defense pretty significantly in there. We're going to have Chuck Todd on as soon as after we come back from the break. Of course, you know, he's been – Chuck, he's the White House correspondent for NBC, and he's really good at what he does. And he's a big sports fan, big NFL fan. He's from Southern Florida. He lives in my hometown of Arlington, Virginia. So when we get back – Chuck Todd should be on the phone, and we're going to get his pick of the week and talk to him a little bit about his favorite team, which is the Miami Dolphins, if he's got time. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here at AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're going over our NFL today because what else would you be talking about on Sunday?
Well, you know what? You got to love it. We're waiting on a call right now from Chuck Todd. He should be calling in shortly. We were hoping to have Sean Salisbury on today. It doesn't look like Sean's going to be able to come. He's getting so busy. In my opinion, this is one of the biggest problems. I mean, everybody wants him to coach him to be an NFL, to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
And he's doing a lot of that stuff. But let's talk a little bit about, let's just start going down the games. Let's look at the Cincinnati-Buffalo game.
Sure.
I mean, right now, I mean, Cincinnati is a 7-point favorite on the road. And to be honest with you, the Bengals have looked anything but brutal. I mean, they're not a great team. They're a typical Marvin Lewis team. You know, Bill Belichick might have said it best last week when he said, they're a very consistent team. I said in a tweet translation, we're so glad they're not that good. We beat them all the time. But they got beat, and they didn't score. And it's the first time, you know, Tom Brady would have set a record this week or tied an NFL record with how, you know, throwing, I don't know, some ridiculous like 80 games in a row with a touchdown pass. But guess what? Last week he didn't throw a touchdown pass against the Bengals. Mm-hmm. Now the Bengals are at Buffalo, and Buffalo has got a second-year quarterback from Duke starting for him, Thaddeus Lewis. Great kid. He's from Florida, coached by David Cutcliffe, who is still at Duke, who was Peyton Manning's and Eli's coach at Ole Miss and Peyton's coach at University of Tennessee. And this guy is pretty good. As a matter of fact, he played for Cleveland, and he got his start for Cleveland last year. And he almost – they didn't cover, but they were covering the entire game until right at the end, and the team they were playing beat him. And I want to say that was Cincinnati. They scored a touchdown cover. Do you know what? This is interesting. But the Bengals have not won. Now, I don't know how many times they've played. Somebody can look this up if they want, but it's several. The Bengals haven't won in Orchard Park where the Bills play since 1985. That was like a long line. That was before Jim Kelly, or that was when Jim Kelly was a rookie. I mean, this 1985, I mean, I was 32 years old, you know, 30 years old. I mean, that was a long time ago. You could take Buffalo getting 7 at home, and you could probably make it work. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the weather's like up there. I'm guessing it's not great.
It's the whole East Coast right now.
But that's not the East Coast. I mean, when you get to Buffalo, you kind of get away
that's
from it
Canada,
a little bit.
Really.
Yeah, it's well, basically it is Canada. But I'm going to leave the game alone because I don't like the game. I think there's other better games to play.
Yeah.
You know, let's go to the next. Let's,
yeah, I have Buffalo, but I'm
but
not,
I mean, you,
I'm not
but you have everybody.
It. Yeah, I'm not playing it. I just
That's the team you prefer out of the two.
A backup quarterback against an inconsistent football team.
If you're going to go with points, if I had to take – I'd probably take Buffalo +7, but I'm not.
No.
Next game, Matthew. Detroit and Cleveland. I'm going to save this game. No, we're going to talk about it. Because my boy Megatron is supposed to come back. And, Roy, it was so easy to change my wide receivers. You got an email from me saying, I need your help.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't. I figured it out myself. I hit one button, and then I hit another, and I have
it's magic.
Megatron. It's like magic doing your smartphone.
Is Megatron going to play today?
He's supposed to.
Because I made
he's
two.
Probable.
I made two different picks here.
No, he's probable.
I said Cleveland if no Megatron. If there's Megatron, you take Detroit all day.
What does that tell you from a standpoint of if you're a handicapper, what would you do if you're not sure and you picked each? You pass on it, and I'll tell you why you pass on it. You got Brandon Weeden starting for Cleveland. Probably not the best of their quarterbacks. Definitely not the best of their quarterbacks. Hoyer's out for the rest of the season. And he would have
just when he was starting to look good.
But they're 3-2. Let me repeat that. The Cleveland Browns are 3-2. That is
top of their division.
That is not bad. That's
Hell
60%.
Has frozen over.
Yeah, I mean, but they're playing a Detroit team who is also 3-2. Yeah. And didn't Detroit only win four games last year? Yes, they did. They were 4-12. Mm-hmm. And I thought Schwartz was gone. Yeah. They decided to keep him and Martin Mayhew one more year, and they're already 3-2.
Yeah, add Reggie they're Bush, also, and apparently your offense.
Hey, they're also favored by 2.5 points in this game.
Right.
You gotta pass on this game because Cleveland has the better defense and Detroit has the better offense. And Calvin Johnson is still a little question mark there because he didn't really – he practiced, but he didn't really, you know, do much.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy, though, I think, that he's going to go out there. He's going to get 20 or 30 snaps. He's going to catch 7 or 8 balls, maybe one touchdown. And Detroit could win this game. But I'm going to leave it alone. The good news about this, Roy, is no matter what happens, hey, one of these teams is going to have 4 wins. Cleveland or Detroit?
I honestly hope it's Cleveland. Detroit, they had their playoff run, what was it, 2 years ago, something like that. So
they won their first six games. I mean, they were 6-0, and then since then they have one of the worst records in the NFL.
I want to see Tony Mazur just hate his life for just a week. You know, give him a playoff game. They don't have to win it.
You know, Tony and Roy have so much in common because both of them are disc jockeys, too.
We are disc jockeys.
And I got to tell you, I'm trying to get Tony to come down and just be your co-host. Like, if you can do my if you do my birthday party, I'm going to invite Tony and have him come down. But I doubt he'll be able to do it because he works all day Sunday usually. Let's go to the next game while we're at it. No phone call, Matt? Oh, the White House must have called. Oh my God!
It's my fault.
You know, I hate it when you're waiting on a call from NBC's White House correspondent. That always sucks.
He may just be a little bit busy. There is news going around.
Is there?
I'm saying. No,
there's
we're in the middle of a kind of.
Wait,
a big
hey,
story.
They all went. They all went home yesterday.
Sure
there's
shut,
no news.
Pretty sure it's all shut down.
Wow. Yeah.
No, well, not the. Well, those guys went home yesterday for a 2-day break. Let me repeat that. They went home for a 2-day break. All right, let's go to the next game. Philadelphia-Tampa Bay. Now, let me tell you something. We got a brand-new coach. Oh, by the way, I love Oregon. I like their quarterback is a Heisman Trophy candidate. Mm-hmm. I hope he wins it.
So is the running back. I have never seen
anybody that quick. Yeah. I watched Oregon late last night. I watched them last week. I watched them the week before. I've said it once. I'll say it again. Everybody listening to this show – play Oregon until they don't cover. Let me repeat that. They're not going to lose.
No.
They're going to go undefeated.
Lose for you,
but
don't cover.
Play
right.
Oregon until they do not cover.
Yeah, it's
straight cash, homie.
Yes.
They are straight cash, homie. And I'll tell you who else was straight cash, homie, for me yesterday in college. And if you had dialed 1-800-466-4748, write this down, 1-800-466-4748, and called me before noon Eastern time yesterday, I would have given you the University of Alabama, and yeah, they covered, and they beat up a horrible Kentucky team. God, they're bad.
Northwestern.
But I did have a loser yesterday, as did everybody else in the country. Yeah, we were all on Oklahoma. So Bob Stoops, here's the only thing I can figure what Bob Stoops did at Oklahoma yesterday. And it wasn't in Oklahoma. It was in a Cotton Bowl because they play them in a neutral site, but it's in Dallas. So it's really a U-Texas deal. But he must just want Mac Brown to stick around and let him beat him up some more because I swear to God, they look like all of those guys were doing Quaaludes on the Oklahoma side. And and they had a couple of special teams, big plays, and they had a couple of plays where they missed a couple of tackles. I'm going to tell you, Oklahoma looked pathetic. I would hate to be – I bet you they go full pads all week at Oklahoma. The Oklahoma drill, you know where it comes from? Oklahoma.
I'd like to think, yeah.
and you know what? If Bobby Stoops doesn't get those kids out on the practice field early and let them go at dark in pads, I'd be surprised because Bob Stoops doesn't put up with that kind of crap. They didn't show up for him yesterday. That's a big game, Oklahoma-Texas. Now Oklahoma, you know, they've dropped. That's a big drop. Wouldn't you say in the BCS standings?
Yeah. Now you're hoping that Baylor loses.
That ain't going to happen. They tried yesterday and they didn't lose.
Baylor looks good. Yeah, they killed me yesterday. Thanks a lot, Baylor.
Well, they killed me too. That's why you need a cover with a three-team teaser. If you'd had a three-team teaser, you'd have hit them. And I got lucky. I did. All right. Let's go to the next game. Oh, we were talking Philadelphia, Tampa Bay. I got off on a tangent on college football. The nice thing about football shows during football season, sports shows, is you can start talking about anything and everybody knows exactly what you're talking about. Oh, yeah. Damn it. I had Oklahoma too, man. Somewhere in New York in Westchester County, a bowl of cereal just was thrown across the kitchen, shattering up against the wall. Philadelphia, the more I see him, the more I like to watch him. They're playing for Kelly. They really are. Mike Vick, to his credit, has played very well. Now, what did he do last week? He tweaked a hammy. We knew it when it happened. But they put Foles in, and he looked great. Yeah. And you know what they say, and I believe this guy, he don't lie much because he kind of doesn't have to, because everybody knows what Philly's going to do. They're going to come out, run a hurry up on you, and they're going to beat you up on offense, especially running the football.
Yeah.
And Foles can run, and Foles can throw. And I'm going to tell you right now, Tampa Bay doesn't, except for Darrell Revis, they don't match up very well.
They don't have any weapons.
They don't have anything, and they just got rid of their quote-unquote franchise quarterback, and now they've got a kid from Westfield High School, Mike Glennon.
Mike Glennon, Sean's
who went to NC State. Yeah, yep. And he's a good quarterback, and he was actually the third quarterback picked in the draft last year. He went in the first round, Geno the second, and in the first round, you know who it was, mm-hmm. kid from Buffalo, E.J. Manuel.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, they're going to score some points because look who they're playing. They're playing a team that can't tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to put a lot of pressure on Glennon because he doesn't move very well.
And let's be honest, how well can you really know the offense?
Well, he knows the offense pretty well because he ran it in preseason. He actually got a lot more snaps than anybody else in the preseason.
He's still a rookie, though.
Yeah, he's a rookie. But here's what I'm going to say. If I was going to take one of the two teams, I'd take Philly minus the 2.5. But there's only one play I'm making here, and that's the over, because it's not that high. It's like 46.5. It might be 48 by now. But I'm telling you, take them. Take the over in that game. There is absolutely no way that Philly's not going to score a bunch of points, mm-hmm. and the Tampa Bay Bucs are going to score a lot of points. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back after that barely caught our breath.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't have to use a little boys' room.
Took one bite of my Danish here.
Yeah, well, you know.
Danish isn't going to eat itself.
I take care, but let's see. Oh, he's still got half of a Red Bull.
Yeah, well, I barely have a chance to just took one bite.
Hey, let me just let's catch back up. Green Bay's at Baltimore. We talked about this. We kind of wanted to go to the game. You think Baltimore's going to get squashed? I think they may upset.
I do.
Let me just tell you what value is, okay? Value is, in my opinion, when you get a team that's at home, that plays much better at home, that is still a 3-point underdog. With some weapons. They really do have some weapons. Now, Ray Rice is fumbling the ball a lot. Where'd that come from, by the way?
And he's banged up.
He's a little banged up, but they've got other guys.
And Green Bay has a great rush defense.
They won't have Dennis Pitta back for a while. They don't really have a tight end to go to. I can see why Green Bay, with an extra week to prepare, might be the call here. But I really think that the call here, believe it or not, is the over. Because Green Bay is going to have to score, in my opinion, at least 30 points to win. And I don't see, even if they get beat, I don't see them not scoring 21 to 24 points, the Ravens. Yeah. And if the Ravens win, what are they going to have to do, Roy? Outscore them.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's why I think it'd be a great game to watch. And guess what? No matter if I go to that game or not, I'm still going to watch it.
Both teams have negative turnover differentials. So both teams are turning the football over.
Yeah, and hopefully that'll be for a touchdown if I've got the over.
Good.
Yeah, the total in that game, I want to say, is 51. That sounds about right.
It opened up at 48. I don't.
Oh, you know what?
Know
it's,
what it's
then
at
it's
now.
48.5 is where it is. I think it's 48.5.
And 49.
Yeah, and that's a good number for Green Bay.
Yeah.
To take the over. Now it is raining.
It is raining.
It is raining, but you know what? They play on turf. It really
does. From Wisconsin.
It does. Yeah, it doesn't slow them down. This is actually like a warm, nice day for Green Bay players.
This is sunny and 70.
And actually, this is key. It's about 55, 60 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. All right, but I'm going to pass on the game, but I'm taking you over. Next game, Matt. St. Louis at Houston. This, Matthew.
Really?
That's right, people. I'm banking on Matt Schaub not throwing his fifth pick six in a row.
You heard about what happened this week, right?
Yeah, I've heard
people
it.
Holding.
I've heard everything. I'm taking the Houston Texans to score a lot of points because they're playing a St. Louis team that can't stop. If Alabama played St. Louis's defense and just ran the football every play, I think they'd score at will because St. Louis can't stop the run. And what's going to happen is they're it's going to set their pass up incredibly. Now, they lost Owen Daniel for the season. Well, for at least a few weeks.
Yeah, 4 or 5 weeks.
A while. And they've all and supposedly their big wide out, you know, what's his name?
Andre Johnson.
Yeah, Andre Johnson is out.
Yeah, he's banged up too.
But they've got other receivers.
And they got a hell of a running back.
And they got two running backs that are basically in competition with each other to see who can get the most yardage. I like Houston here. And I like them, you know, they're minus 10 points.
Is it 10 now?
Yeah, how can you not take them minus 10? I'm taking them. This is my play of the week, and I think you absolutely have to.
7.5.
Cash,
oh, I'm sorry. That's right, 7.5. I'm thinking of somebody else. I'll tell you who I'm thinking of.
But if you like him at 10, 7.5, that sounds great.
Well, I love him at 10, but 7.5, does that sound right? See, the only reason that is because of Schaub. Because each week, instead of getting 7, they've been giving up 7.
That's true.
If you take that pick six out every week, just add 7 points to it. No, I see them controlling the ball. What do you think, 35 to 40 minutes this game, mm-hmm. somewhere in that range?
Well, you know I like Houston.
AFC. You picked them to be in the Super Bowl. But I think that now's the time for them to put up or shut up.
I mean, and you're exactly right. They are a very, very good football team. And if they're not giving 6 points away in every game that they've played seemingly – They could easily be an undefeated football team.
Let me tell you, they've given up. This is hard to even believe. They've scored 93 points. They've given up 139 points. That is worse than just bad luck. But he's given up 4 pick sixes in a row. So that's 7. That's 28 one way, 28 the other way. That's 56 points. If you subtracted. Yeah, I mean, that's all the difference in having more yardage than you've given up. It's been Matt Schaub. Now, they are leading the NFC in yards per game.
They're
number one.
They're one of, if not the top defense in the league, right?
And they're not anymore, but they were.
They were.
But guess what? Guess who I dropped this week? The Houston defense. And I picked up Tony Mazur's Cleveland Brown defense. And that was a good move. They were available.
I might have to pick up the Houston defense.
Well, you can have them. They're on there. You pick them up.
I might have to.
No, you better not. You're not going to pick them up.
I might
because
do it right
you don't want to waste two picks. Well, who do you have? What defense do you have this week?
I don't
know. You don't even know. That's ridiculous.
I switch my defense every week.
I know. So does Matt. He must have picked that up from you.
Because I'm really good at what I do.
But anyway, listen, I'm taking Houston minus 7.5 for a bundle. Take them. Next game, Matt.
BT Dubs, who is at number one in the league?
Oh, who cares, Matt? Change it.
Did you say BT Dubs?
Hey, listen.
BT Dubs.
Look, I just knocked off.
Numero uno.
I knocked off the guy that you needed me to knock off last week. I won last week, and I didn't even. I had Megatron activated. And he didn't play.
And you still won?
And I won. Because you know why? Because Cam Newton went negative on the guy I played.
I hate when that happens. When I'm playing somebody and I'm like,
negative.
Oh, this guy didn't even play the game. And then you lose. It's like, how bad is
it? Well, I'm 3-2 now, so I'm in it. Next game, Matt. Oakland, Kansas City. Let me tell you, I'm in a catbird seat because of Vegas. You know, I went out there and I made a few plays. And I am all over Kansas City to win. All they got to do is win 8 or 9 games for me, and I'm done. They might do that in November.
Yeah.
All right. They're 5-0. I have them ranked number 2 in the league right now. I do. I have them ranked
number
2.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. And they're definitely. You know who else I got up there? New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
They're for real, and I got to tell you, it's not going to get. I mean, there are six teams. Any one of six
four,
to eight teams. I don't think it's going to come down to. I don't think if you're not in the top 10 now, you're not going to Super Bowl.
I have Denver.
Denver's number one.
Denver, Seattle.
See, I don't have Seattle in front of Kansas City.
Mine
right
goes
now.
Denver, Seattle. New Orleans, Kansas City, and I forget who my
See, you got to put Seattle after those guys just because of the last game alone. And you got to watch more film because I watched film of them. Mm-hmm. Their defense is making a lot of mistakes. Do you know what? We're going to talk about Seattle in a minute. I don't want to ruin it for everybody. But we got some really neat stuff happening with Seattle this week. I'll tell you about it later. But let's talk about Oakland, Kansas City. Hey, how about Oakland? Terrell Pryor. Have you seen his numbers? They're for real.
And guess who just flew into Oakland this week to take, because they did fire.
Matt Flynn?
They cut Matt Flynn.
Yeah, well, they had to Matt Flynn. He was gone. Embarrassing to put on the field.
So they just flew in Mr. Pat White.
Yeah.
So
should
say stamp of approval with Terrell Pryor. You're going to be here for a while.
I didn't want the Redskins.
Seriously.
Roy, did I want the Redskins to get rid of Pat White?
No.
I wanted them to keep him instead of Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
And guess what? I still think that was the play.
If I'm absolutely, so do I.
Well, then why did the Shanahan? Is it because he lived with Kyle? Are they like butt buddies? I mean, what's going on?
Probably are, yes. But if you're an Oakland Raiders fan, you have to be happy with at least trying out Pat White because that means that you're going to at least build for the future towards this open runaround offense.
You know what? I'd like to think that a conversation I had with Raleigh McKenzie had something to do with that because I told Rollo a month ago that they should keep Pat White. And, he goes after linemen mostly, but he's one of their top scouts now. Anyway, let's talk about that game. Oakland, they're getting 9 points. And you want to hear something wild? Oakland's won six straight games in Kansas City. Six straight in Arrowhead. This is going to be a good game. If you're going to take this game, you got to take Oakland. Because Kansas City is due for a loss.
They are due for a loss.
And this is why I'm in the catbird seat. I don't care if they win or lose. I'm leaving the game alone. I'm not touching the game. If they lose, more power to Oakland. Okay? But I'm leaving the game alone. You know what I like in this game?
The over?
I like, no.
You like the under?
Absolutely, because Oakland's got a good defense. And if they're going to have a chance, they better keep Kansas City from scoring points. And Kansas City, you know what they're going to do. They're going to go up and down. They're going to let their defense play. Their defense has been phenomenal, by the way. I don't know that there's a better defense in the league right now than Kansas City. Eric Berry running the show in the backfield. And they got all those good guys up front. Give me the next game, Matthew. By the way, if you couldn't tell, I'm passing on that game. And I'm pretty sure I talked Roy into taking Oakland +9.
I have Kansas City.
Well, good for you. You take Kansas City.
But that was a very compelling argument. Yes, it was.
All right, Carolina's in Minnesota. We talked about that game already. Did we? I know we haven't talked about which way we're going. Adrian Peterson loses a two-year-old son. Mm-hmm. Going to play, which I understand.
Because he was at practice on Friday.
I would have to play. Well, yeah, he got back. Listen, you know what? The one thing that you'll see about this is, now, if that had been – his other son, be a different story. He wasn't that close to this kid.
He actually just found out, I believe it was a year or so ago, that it was his son through a paternity battle. So.
Well, I'm glad you paid attention to all that because all I know is that, he left practice on Monday or Tuesday because there was something terrible that had happened in South Dakota, I guess. And then then we hear it's his son.
Yeah.
And then we hear it might not be his son. And what it is, yes, it's his paternal son, but it's not his son that he lives with, and they're both the same age, basically.
Yeah.
Which is, that's just, I don't even want to think about that. But two-year-old boy that or you don't know dies from something this ridiculous and this savage, it's a bad day. I gotta think that his offensive line and the rest of his teammates are going to put their arms around this guy.
Absolutely.
And you know what? He put them on his shoulders last year, and they made the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean,
made the playoffs because of him.
Nobody questions the heart of Adrian Peterson.
No.
The dude came back from ACL surgery and set records.
He's
a great guy. He really is.
Hey, he's handling that. Now, this was his first ACL. Plus, he lost. It wasn't just his ACL. It was the other.
He had a knee problem coming out of college.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was.
It was meniscus. He had torn cartilage.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
I remember he had some sort of knee problem, and that didn't stop him.
No.
You know? So, look, is this whole incident going to affect Adrian Peterson? Absolutely. Of course it is. But I still like – I like Adrian Peterson more so because of it. I know that's a terrible – that might be a terrible thing to say, but the guy plays with a fire that – very few people we've seen in history play with.
No, I agree.
It's like that Brett Favre effect when Brett Favre's dad died and he came out and he threw like five touchdown passes.
Yep. Yeah, that's what everybody's been talking about this week. I agree. And it worked for Brett, too. And I think it'll work for Adrian Peterson, too. I'm going to pass on the game only because Carolina last week should have won their game. And Cam Newton held the ball too long three times, maybe more like six times if you watched all the game film. He was horrible last week, throws three picks. One of them got tipped up in the air. But, I mean, he literally cost them a win last week. He's going to be tough in Minnesota because, you know, I mean, going to Minnesota, I mean, they need the win. If Carolina doesn't win this game, there's a head coach that's starting to look like he's going to climb up that list where he needs to be looking for a realtor. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pass on the game completely.
This is my number two play.
Minnesota?
Yes.
Yeah. I did the same thing earlier this year and it with Eli.
Right.
With the Giants. Mm-hmm. And what happened? It was with Coughlin's brother dying, and they get beat 38-0 in Carolina. So I'm leaving that whole side of it alone. Yeah. Let's go to the next game, Matt. We got Pittsburgh at the Jets. We talked about the Jets firsthand. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking either side, but I am taking the under. I love the under here. I think it's going to be a 13-10 game. I don't know who's going to win, but I think it's going to be a 17-13, 17-13-10, 17-13, 13-7. It's going to be a low-scoring, physical defensive struggle.
It's going to be a sloppy game, and I have the Steelers plus 2.5, but it's not one of my top plays. But I do have the under.
They got to win a game sooner or later.
They got to win at some point.
Right.
Jets coming off a high emotional win. I can see a letdown.
You know, it's hard to imagine Ben Roethlisberger losing another game. But hey, look at Eli. They're 0-6. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hey, we're back. Listen, go to my website if you're listening in on the show, and you'll see my rankings for the NFL. Go to BruceHallSports.com. Also, if you ever want to hear the show and you're not going to be around to hear it live, we archive the shows pretty much. We keep, 4 or 5 weeks on at a time, Matthew. I mean, they should all be on there, but I don't know what you do.
You can go back to the first show. Well, Every single show is on the website.
Is that right? Well, I need. If you ever need to do that, do that. I've got to do it this week because I got to put a disc together and send it out to somebody that wanted them. Hey, listen. We're talking NFL football here. We're not going to talk baseball because I've already made my picks, and I'll let Roy. You know, while we're waiting on Tony Mazur. We'll probably get Tony. I'm going to get Tony's idea who he likes. Last segment of the show.
Baseball?
Yeah. I mean, I picked St. Louis to beat the Dodgers.
Did you really?
Oh, absolutely. Because they were 160-1 underdogs.
Yeah, they're the biggest underdog left.
And the Dodgers are the Dodgers. I hate them because I'm a San Francisco Giant fan. I wasn't going to take them. Plus, they peaked so early. and Hanley Ramirez is hurt. And no matter what you say, Hanley Ramirez is the key to that team. I mean, he really is, because Adrian Gonzalez can't hit anymore. He can't run. I mean, and Don Mattingly, by the way, is finally getting second-guessed a little bit about just some bonehead play. He pulled Adrian out of the game the other night in the seventh inning, and they needed it. He would have had three or four more at-bats.
I hope that he's a little – I hope the Dodgers lose to the St. Louis Cardinals, and the Cardinals are hot right now.
Well, the Cardinals need to get a W again.
But I hope the Dodgers falter for different reasons, because I'm a Nationals fan, and I hope that Mattingly goes to the Nationals.
Mattingly's not going any. He's not going to the Nationals. My buddy Cal Ripken's going there.
I hate that guy.
Good. You hate him. I like him. Yeah, everybody hates Cal Ripken.
I don't hate Cal.
You're a real popular guy,
Roy. I don't hate Cal Ripken.
I'll tell Cal next time I see him. You know what, Cal? You know you listen to my show, right?
Of course he does. No, he listens. Call in, Cal. I dare you.
Roy just plans on leaving the East Coast.
If he calls in, he's moving through the states.
I don't hate Cal Ripken.
Of course you don't. You were an Oriole fan forever.
I was never an Oriole fan, but he was one of my favorite players.
Oh, my God.
I was never an Orioles fan.
Who did you root for?
I was a Chicago Cubs fan.
Oh, well, that's...
Kerry Wood, baby.
Yeah, right.
Before he blew out his arm. But
him and Mark Pryor, both guys blew their arms out.
I was never an Orioles fan. I'm still not an Orioles fan.
I don't even want to hear about it.
But I...
Because you're a fan of the last time you talked about something. You grew up with the Orioles when you were little.
No, I did not.
Did you not go to Baltimore and watch Major League games?
No.
Why not? Did your dad not take you? If you don't believe me,
have your dad call in.
Remember, we grew up in the 80s when Baltimore was not the place to go for...
He didn't grow up in the 80s. The Orioles sucked. Yeah, I was born in 86.
Yeah, but almost the Orioles and 90s. Do you know one of the reasons I think Cal Ripken is going to be the pick? First of all, he doesn't need any experience to be a major league manager. Trust me. If they put a uniform on me, look at me. If they put a uniform on me and I went in the Nats dugout, I could write a lineup and I could win. Cal Ripken grew up playing baseball.
If you coach at any level
that's college or above, you know what Davey Johnson was doing for 8 years before he became the manager of the Nats? He was coaching a college wooden bat team in Florida.
Davey Johnson also was a manager of the year.
He had been away from the game for a long time.
Yeah, but he had managerial experience.
Yeah, well, he was a good manager in Cincinnati. He's always been. He won World Series. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm telling you that Cal Ripken's father was one of the greatest baseball people
and
ever.
And one of the worst managers.
He was on a team that went 0-16?
He was the manager.
Or 23.
He was a manager for like 150 games.
Yeah, but he wasn't a horrible man.
He didn't even make it a full
season. They didn't have any players when he was the manager. None.
That's fine.
That was when they started rebuilding.
That's fine, but he did not turn the team around. And my argument...
He didn't even get a season to turn him around.
Exactly. Exactly. Here's my argument against Cal Ripken, okay? He's never been a manager at any level.
Doesn't have to be.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be.
Fair point.
It's easy to be a manager. I'm a manager.
And
I'm a good manager.
Ask the Chicago White Sox what it's like to bring in a popular player when you're good and then have the team fail.
Robin Ventura went through their entire minor league system. Know what you're talking about. He started out in rookie ball. He went to A ball. He went to double A. He went to triple A. And they brought him to the majors.
They brought him to the majors because
he looked like a phenomenal coach 1 year.
Yeah.
And then what happened was
they crapped the bed.
Yeah. Look at what they got. Their best player hit less than 200.
So that doesn't change anything.
Oh,
look,
God. Let's not talk baseball because I'm talking to an idiot here.
My argument against Cal Ripken is. We have the money and we have the team to go out and grab a good, solemn anybody.
Who? Not Mattingly.
Why not?
Mattingly's a moron. Mattingly is not. Even Joe Girardi wouldn't be the fit here. Joe Girardi is probably the best. We could get Girardi too. Look how quick they signed him. No, he's just signed. He's a 4-year deal for $16 million. You've been asleep?
I'm telling you that. The Nationals have the
Girardi
money.
Girardi's gone.
Okay, but I didn't want Girardi.
He's in New York.
I didn't want Girardi anyways.
Good.
The Nationals have the money, and they have the team to get anybody they want.
Yeah. They're going to probably – you know who they want? You know who they want? Matt Williams. Matt Williams is in the running.
But do you
basically a third baseman who, by the way, tested positive for steroids.
That doesn't mean everybody did.
Oh, no, sure. Yeah, I want a manager that tested positive for steroids. That way, when he has a steroid problem on his team, he'll be able to recognize
it. Yeah, but do you agree that this is a marquee team that can go out and get anybody you want?
Yeah, and I think Cal Ripken is a marquee name and a marquee player.
I don't think he's a marquee manager.
Well, that doesn't matter what you think, thank God.
Okay, I don't think he's a marquee manager.
Let me tell you something. The kid grew up in a major league dugout.
Okay.
He's been around baseball's entire life. And you know what? He came to work how many straight days?
Yeah, he never missed a game for
3,000
a million years.
What was it? 3,868 or some crap. And that's not even counting the days off when he was either in the training room or he was working out. The guy comes to work and he knows. I've seen Cal Ripken sit and watch a college summer game and mm-hmm. watch a triple header and literally sit on a chair in the bullpen and watch the entire game. So he is a baseball coach.
So why didn't the Orioles want him when he was begging for the job?
He would never work for Angelos as long as he lived. That's not true. You don't know anything about
it. Cal Ripken was begging for the job.
He would never take a job from him.
Cal Ripken was asking to be a part of the team, and the Orioles said no.
He wants to. That's not true.
Yes, it is.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Look it up, dude.
You also
I'm
have to
not
going to
look
that,
anything up. He's not going to work for Angelos.
You also have to remember that it's a business, and the Nationals would love to have Cal Ripken there.
A guy that they could sell 5,000 season tickets
in a week. Yeah, for all
the people
that were in the city when they didn't have a team.
The Nationals are already a top 10.
And they were Baltimore fans.
They're already top 10 in
ticket sales.
Yeah,
did you go to the last week of the season? I did.
They're in the top 10.
Yeah, how many people were there the last 2 weeks of the season?
Where they were eliminated.
Doesn't matter.
They're
in San Francisco, they sold out every game and everybody was there.
They were top 10 in the league this year in attendance.
Yeah, I know.
So
no, they didn't. No, they did a good
job.
You
don't need the money grab hire.
Well, you need the money grab for TV rights as well.
Roy, do you know how many season tickets they've sold last year? Do you know how many season tickets they sold?
Probably not enough.
18,000. Okay. Do you know how many more they'd sell if Cal Ripken became the manager? 10,000.
I think that
they would sell out almost every night.
I think that they would sell more tickets if they were consistent winners and made the playoffs rather than went and grabbed the money.
I agree, but they've only had really two seasons where they were even in it.
Right.
Where they were even in the
And who was their manager?
No, don't get one. Yeah, well, Davey's a great manager.
Right, and that's
Davey's
my point.
Gone. Davey's
yes,
gone.
I know, but you can find another Davey.
All right, tell me who. Exactly.
Donnie Baseball is my number one.
He's terrible. He is dumb as a bag of hammers.
Because
ask
he's a
anybody
Dodger.
In ba- no,
because you hate the Dodgers.
No, he's dumb as a bag of hammers when he was a Yankee.
Then why does he have the Dodgers in the NL championship?
Can I tell you what? He went through their system, and he ended up as their bench coach, and mm-hmm. he ended up as the guy actually they gave the job to. The Dodgers, look what the Dodgers did. They turned everything around. We're sitting here talking baseball on an NFL day. What time is it, Matt?
It's time for a live read.
All right, we got a live read here. Roy and I are going at it because he doesn't know. We're talking baseball, and that's not his strength. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Try not to be mad now. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. And by the way, if you're not a member of the National Association of Realtors and you sell real estate, you're missing a really good opportunity. These people are the best. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Tennessee, Seattle. We're back to football here. Me and Roy, we're going to talk. Oh, that hurt. God, that hit me below the belt there. Tennessee's at Seattle. Seattle gets woken up. Get a wake-up call last week, Roy. They get beat. And I was all over that. Indianapolis ends up beating them. They're at home. It was like a pick game, basically. And you know what? Indianapolis is playing on Monday night in another pick game. Take the Colts for sure. Monday night, tomorrow night. Against San Diego. That's like the varsity against the JV. Both teams, I mean, San Diego is going to get better. Phillip Rivers is having a decent year. They have some offensive weapons. They have no defense. Indianapolis, on the other hand, has a defense. Okay? So you got to take Indianapolis, P pick or minus one or plus one tomorrow night. Now back to Seattle. I didn't even
pick this game.
The Seahawks have won 5 out of the last 6 and 7 of 9 against the Titans, dating back to 1988. The Titans have a great defense. They do. They have a good defense. But their number one quarterback is not the quarterback now. They've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, who made some great throws last week. If you watch any of the shows I tell you to watch, AFC Playbook, NFC Playbook, he hit no fewer than 5-6 receivers in the hands, and they dropped them last week. Tennessee's receivers aren't very good.
Kenny Britt.
No, but I mean all of them.
The same since the
all of them aren't very good.
As a unit, they're very.
They have and by the way, Chris Johnson. Runs for daylight. He doesn't let his block set up. No. He's terrible right now.
Since he ran for 2,000 yards, he hasn't been the same.
Seattle is really my number two. Don't play the song because it's not my straight cash homie. I went with Houston. So did you, Roy. I think you liked them. Oh, you didn't.
Yeah, I like
them.
Houston.
But Seattle is going to win this game. They're minus 12. And I'm taking them. And I'm also taking the under here because you know what I think is going to happen here? It's going to be a 23-0 game. I just think Seattle's deep. You know what they're trying to do here? Guinness Book of World Records for the loudest crowd in history.
Again?
Yeah.
They're trying
to be the loudest crowd in history. And I got to tell you, if you talk to anybody in the NFL.
They said it, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
In week one. So
yeah.
Now they're just trying to beat it again.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're going to be 8-0 at home. They're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be in the top five. They're going to be in the top five. Now, I will say this. They're making some mistakes, but Tennessee is not going to be the team to exploit them. Take Seattle and take the under in the Seattle game. Next.
See, that's a market. If you want to run a business and you want to fill seats, you tell people that they're going to be in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let me buy $30,000 worth of season tickets so I can be in the Guinness Book
of
World Records.
What they need to do, though, is not do it so much during the regular season. They need to do it in the playoffs because it would be really bad.
You can already set that.
It would be really bad if they can't set the record during the playoffs because they had some random.
None of this means anything to me. Matt, next game.
I already did.
Do it again. Thanks. Jacksonville's at Denver. All right, this is important. This is the highest point spread in the history of the NFL. Yes, I'm taking Denver minus 26. It's 26.
Is it moved?
Yeah, it's down to 26.
So it opened up at 20.
Well, that's good. That means people are playing the under. Take the over. I'm sorry. I mean, it means they're playing the dog. Take Denver minus the points. And if you want to hedge, you hedge the over. Why? Because Denver's going to score 38 points. Yeah. And what's the total?
40? It opened up at 53.
Yeah, you know what?
Denver could get in the first
quarter. Can I tell you what? I'm not even taking that because this could be a 38-0, 41-0 game. Take Denver minus the points for 5 stars. I love this game. Absolutely.
I have Jacksonville plus 28 simply because
why do that?
I didn't want to be the guy on the largest spread.
If you're going to bet Jacksonville, why don't you at least be smart and bet $100 okay, mm-hmm. $100, $100.
I have the over, too.
On the money line. Do you know what the money line is? $3,840. That's on a $1 bet.
What, on?
Oh, if you bet Jacksonville.
I don't think Jacksonville's going to win.
No, but I'm just saying, why not play $100 on the money line?
Just a dollar.
Well, then bet a dollar and get your but then you'll be going, oh, I should have bet $100.
No, I will never say that I should have bet $100 on Jacksonville.
All right, we're going to be, all right, let's go to the next game. And you know what?
I have the over as a top play, though.
By the way, there's been several teams that have been beat by a lot more points than 26. And Jacksonville, yes, they suck. They're horrible. Sorry, Ron Middleton, one of my best friends, who's tight end coach for them, but they're horrible. Let's go with
what makes me nervous in that game, though, is Denver getting up huge early and then garbage time points.
No, but you see, they're not going to do that. You know why? Because they blew it in the game last year. And from what I understand, they'd lose. Yeah. Peyton is going to stay in at least until midway into the fourth quarter.
No, I agree.
Okay, let's go to the next game. I like it when you do that, though. All right, that's good. Arizona's at San Francisco. San Francisco, after getting a scare a couple weeks ago, they've turned it around. It looks like Kaepernick's starting to be Colin Kaepernick.
Well, he's better. He's my fantasy quarterback. I gave up a world for him.
Well, I wouldn't activate him today.
I traded him. Well, you know who my backup is?
Well, who are you have activated?
Kaepernick. You know who my backup is?
No.
Eli Manning.
Did you have him this week?
No, I didn't start Eli Manning. Eli Manning sucks.
Hey,
has he had a negative week yet?
Oh my God, I was so.
Hey, by the way,
I drafted Eli in every freaking league.
Can we work on the game that's at hand right now, mm-hmm. Roy? I mean, I know it's tough, but Roy is Roy inhales
it's my
the,
vent box.
Yeah. Hey, listen to me. It's a 10-point game. Mm-hmm. You got to take San Francisco at
Absolutely,
home.
Yeah.
Arizona, you know what? Carson Palmer, he's not very good. Mm-mm. This just in, he ain't that good. And not only is he not that good, their offense isn't that good. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're not going to do much against this defense. I see San Francisco putting it on them and keeping it on them. I like them minus 10. I like them for 4 stars. I don't like the total at all because it could be this could be a 23-3 game.
Last week we sat here and you picked against the Arizona Cardinals, and I said you got to look out for Patterson and
who did they play? Because I won last week.
No, but
I won. I don't remember. Who did they play? Do you even remember?
Was it Carolina?
I don't know.
I think it was Carolina. But
it was Carolina, and it was in Carolina. Cam threw 3 mm-hmm. interceptions,
and I said you have to look out for Honey Badger, and you have to look out for Patterson because this secondary is real.
Now,
and the key to
Cam is an idiot.
If Arizona wins this game, yeah. and I'm on the same board as you. Okay, I like the.
How
49ers.
Many people out there think Cam Newton sucks? Raise your hand.
I do.
Thank you
I
very
do
much.
Think he sucks. But look, I'm on the same board as you. But Colin Kaepernick has been, extremely.
Bad.
Inconsistent this year.
Well, I mean, you know.
And they've been sheltering him.
Look, to stand up for him, he ain't the only one that's been inconsistent.
Right.
The head coach has been pretty inconsistent.
But,
oh, and by the way, something came out this week. Mm-hmm. And you know who it was? It was an interview with Smith from Kansas City, the quarterback that Kaepernick beat out when he was injured last year. And what he said was, there were a few running backs and a few offensive linemen that were wondering about the calls at the end of the game in the NFC Championship game. In the Super Bowl, yeah. And you know what? That's all we talked about. Why didn't they run the ball? It was first and goal. They were handing the ball off to whoever, and they were getting 5, 10, 15 yards a pop. Kaepernick could have just run an option play and gotten the end zone. They threw, what, 3-4 passes?
Yeah.
They threw 4 passes inside the 10-yard line.
And this year they're sheltering Kaepernick.
Yeah, okay? but they're doing.
He's
it's
not
a little
throwing
different
as
offense.
Much. They're rushing the football. If Arizona can somehow just slow down the rushing attack, there is really only one receiving threat for the San Francisco 49ers, and he's slow. And you have two very quick defensive backs on Arizona that could that could
well, Patrick
cause
Peterson
some help.
I agree, but I don't think that's going to happen. You know what I think is going to happen?
Look, I'm on your
no,
side.
No, but listen.
I'm playing Denver's.
Can
advocate,
I say what
yeah.
I think is going to happen?
Yeah.
Thanks. I think what's going to happen is they're going to hand the ball off 40 times to their backs, and they're going to score. They're probably going to have 250 yards rushing against Arizona. Arizona can't stop the run. Now, they did get a really good linebacker back who made a couple of plays last week, but besides that, they're in trouble. Next game, Matthew.
That's a bigger game. That is a bigger game to me for the San Francisco 49ers than it looks like.
Because
it will show Kaepernick if he has turned the page.
Yeah, well, I think he's definitely turned the page.
I hope so.
New Orleans is at New England. This could be the best game of the day. And this, ironically enough, could be the Super Bowl game. Because a lot of people think that New Orleans is going to win the NFC. And listen, if you play a playoff game in the Superdome, guess what? You better bring your lunch because those fans and Drew Brees and Sean Payton and everybody else down there is going to be ready to whoop your butt after what happened to them last year. They're on a mission, the New Orleans Saints. Tom Brady last week did not throw a touchdown pass for the first time in 82 games or something.
Something
I mean, it was a
ridiculous
number. Mm-hmm. He would have tied the record this week. Guess how many games he's thrown a touchdown pass in now? 0.
Yeah.
Okay, so he gets to start all over again this week. I don't know which way to go with this game. I know the weather's not great up there. I know it's a little chilly. It's a little more New England-y than it is indoors. But I'm telling you, Drew Brees played at Purdue.
Yep.
He played in the slop and the crap, and we haven't even talked about that phenomenal four overtime game last night that Michigan was in with Penn State.
Way to go, Penn State.
Yeah. Way to go, Nittany Lions. And Kale Sanderson's getting ready to take his national championship wrestling team on the mats here pretty soon.
I'm rooting for Penn State.
I love Penn State. I just don't love their coaching staff.
Really? I like the new head coach.
And their administrators and all the people.
Well, the administrators can go to hell in a
They're all going to jail, hopefully.
But the head coach, the new head coach,
look,
I like what he's doing.
That total right now is right between 49 and 50, depending on where you get it. I don't like the total in that game because I think both defenses are better than their offenses. Hey, Rob Ryan has done a great job in New Orleans. And it makes you wonder why they let him go in Dallas, because Monty Kiffin isn't doing jack.
Well, he was.
He's not doing jack.
Was he?
I didn't say anything. What? He just wanted to hit that. Hey, I'll do it again. Monty Kiffin isn't doing jack.
He came out and he said when he lost the Dallas job, he said that he would be unemployed for 5 minutes. And now we're kind of starting to see.
He was unemployed for 2 weeks.
He said 5 minutes.
You know why he was unemployed for 2 weeks? Because everybody from New Orleans was like on a vacation.
They were
still looking for a place to stay.
They were trying to save up enough money to take him out to dinner with.
Well, exactly, because they lost $7.5 million, the head coach did. You know what? I'm rooting for Sean Payton. Yeah, I know he's arrogant, but so is Belichick. I'd still rather go out and party with Sean Payton,
yeah,
wouldn't
absolutely.
You know, Bill Belichick, I mean, I know if I went out with that guy, I'd end up in a wrestling match headlocking him or something just to mess with him, you know? Put him on his back and hold him there for a while.
Yeah. But anyway.
You got to be a wrestler to appreciate that.
This is actually my straight cash homie play.
Oh, I want to hear it.
Yeah.
Straight cash homie. And by the way, Randy has been on TV way too much.
Yeah, well, that's
He's
Fox Sports 1 for
horrible.
You.
Horrible.
Fox Sports 1 is horrible.
They're terrible.
It's just a bunch of misfits.
Randy. How about...
They're just talking out their butts. I mean, that station is terrible. Like, if it's not a live sporting event on, then I change it. Because
all right, I'm holding a gun to your head. Who do you take, New
I
England
take the
or
New Orleans?
Orleans
Saints plus 3.
I would too, but I'm not... Yeah, but they're the New Orleans Saints are... Are,
plus
yeah,
three.
Nah, there now?
They're getting 3.
They were just minus 1.5 this morning. So everybody's taking New England.
When I made my picks on, this was Thursday, they were plus 3. And
no call.
Look, I know the Patriots are at home, but the big thing to me is that there's no Gronkowski again.
Yeah, you know, well, you know why? Dr.
Yeah, James Andrews
said no.
And do you think he's trying to make up for something that he did in Washington?
No,
maybe?
You know what I think? I don't think that thing's healing right is what I think.
Neither do I.
And you know why I don't think it's healing right? Because when you do steroids forever, things don't work in your body the way they're supposed to.
You look at his
Tell
other
Tell me Gronkowski
options,
has never had a steroid in his body.
Amendola can't stay healthy ever. And Edelman is like number 3 in the league in drops.
Hey, we're not done yet. We're not done yet, are we? Good. You have to be careful. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. News Talk 1230 in Westchester, WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back.
Late money's on Arizona. They just dropped a half a point to 9.5, the 49ers. I'm still taking San Francisco, and so are you, straight cash homie.
I do. It's not my straight cash homie. New Orleans is my straight cash homie.
New Orleans is your straight cash homie?
Yes.
New Orleans is getting 2.5, and the total there's 50. And I got to tell you, it would be fun to see that at 50, but mostly cloudy. Oh, you know what? It's 60 degrees. It's warmer in New England than it is here.
Yeah.
Why is that? I don't get it.
It's because Drew Brees showed up and
I don't get it.
I mean,
I don't get it.
I see a potential blowout in this game.
I don't get it.
Because right now,
who do you see the blowout with, Saints?
Yeah,
I could see that.
Because
didn't the Patriots? They didn't score last week.
They didn't, and they
don't
have. It must be
the Jets should have beat them. The Jets had them beat.
It must be hard to say this, but the New England Patriots can't win a shootout with the New Orleans Saints right now. They don't have the weapons.
The New England Patriots are in the AFC. Arguably, the AFC is a better league right now than the NFC. Maybe. They're like 10 games above them. And let me just say this, Roy. You know, you look at the Pats. They're not the best. They're not going to be the team that makes it out of there. If Denver doesn't make it out of there, there's a couple more teams. Cincinnati's one that could make it out of there.
Chiefs, maybe?
The Chiefs, you know, I wouldn't put it past them. Now, some things can go terribly wrong with the Chiefs. They're, you know who they're like a lot? Only they're a little bit better. They're like the Bengals in that they've got a great defense and they don't score a lot of points. Mm-hmm. When you don't score a lot of points, you better play great defense.
They're like Houston to me in past years.
Well, now see here's here's the problem with Houston. They got so many injuries. It's hard to figure out who they're going to have on because isn't Cushing out?
Is he?
Or is he back now? He was out for 2 weeks. He got injured. Yeah, Brian Cushing.
He played last week.
Yeah, but
he had the black nose piece on. His nose is bleeding.
You know what? They need all of their guys. And they got the big guy, 99. What's his name? The big defensive tackle that's so freaking good.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh,
Mario
God.
Williams is in Buffalo now.
Well, no, I'm talking about the big white dude.
I'm trying to think.
Anyway.
J.J. Swatt.
J.J. Watt. J.J. Twat. Is that what you said?
Swat.
J.J. Swat.
That's his nickname.
You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. That's the first time I've said that the entire day. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. I'm talking to Roy Edwards now from sportsmancave.com. Roy Edwards. Roy, if you want to get a hold of me on my ever by email, go to tickets@BruceHallSports.com. If you want to get a hold of Roy, go to Roy Edwards 4.
Roy G at SMC Radio.
I'm sorry. He's got like 8 million
Do not
emails.
Email
I've only
me
got
on
one. I've only got one. And also, listen to me. After 12 noon, if you ever want to get me on the phone, there'll be a lot of people that already have me on the phone, but you need to call 1-800-466-4748. That's 1-800-466-4748. Last week, I took one play off. My big play was the over in the Detroit game, and when Megatron, I found out he wasn't playing, I took that off. A lot of my people didn't get it because they didn't check after 12 noon, and they didn't call me if they didn't know. Plus, when they found that out, all you got to do is you can get me on the phone. Trust me, 1-800-466-4748. Let's talk a little bit about Sunday night's game. This is going to be a very, very interesting game. Matthew?
That's not the button. That's definitely not the button.
You know, Matt's new at this job. How many years you been doing this now?
Whenever you say Matthew.
The Washington Redskins, who Roy and I, you know, have kind of a...
We have an emotional attachment.
We have an emotional attachment, but because of the owner, I don't have much of a business attachment to him. And because I'm a handicapper and a decent one, I definitely don't have an emotional attachment to him anymore. I actually know more about the Redskins than most teams because it's hard not to because, you know, when you grow up between Baltimore and in Northern Virginia, you hear him all the time about this, that, and the other. Maybe too much stuff. Redskins are actually a 5.5-point underdog.
Yeah.
Most people would think that's not enough points and might think that the Redskins are a good value. I'm going to tell you right now, evidently there's 6,000 Redskin fans that made the trip down to Dallas because there was a lot of stuff on Twitter last night about everybody being at Champs, you know, which is like a chain restaurant, and they were everywhere. They were all Redskin people. Evidently, they chartered some air and went down there. Evidently, the Redskins took a special group down there. I see that happening. You know, Dan has always been in this thing with Jerry Jones. You got to understand, these are the two teams that 2 years ago were penalized. Yeah. It was actually a little over a year ago they were penalized, but it was because of what they did 2 years ago to circumvent the salary cap.
Yeah.
When there was no salary cap, which is like – saying, well, why did you, you know, it doesn't matter. They got fined literally $18 million a year on the cap. Now, that was the Redskins' fine. I don't even know what Dallas's was. It wasn't that bad, but it was close.
It hurt them just as much.
Well, it hurt the Redskins because look at what they got. Now, they not only did it hurt them then, but they gave up all of those draft choices and for Robert Griffin. So mm-hmm. not only did they lose $36 million in 2 years that they could have used to pay –
free agents.
Just players.
Or pay players, yeah.
Yeah.
But
and now
they're on that pay scale.
They lost Lorenzo, and when Lorenzo went to Arizona, in my opinion, that killed their special teams. Because I think Lorenzo ran their special teams because when he left, they were done. And when he went to Arizona, they said that he was their most favorite guy in the locker room. We knew that.
He's
in Washington,
he's
a great guy. Lorenzo Alexander, we're talking about. Phenomenal guy. He's out for the year now, unfortunately.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's been out for the year for about 3 or 4 weeks. But the Redskins are playing in Dallas. That's going to be on 8:30 tonight, national TV, Channel 4, which is, you know, NBC, depending on where you are. And the total here is down to 51.5. It was up as high as 53. And let me just say this. This game's going over. I don't care if it's 61.5. It's going over because both teams have defenses that you can't really get behind. I mean, Peyton Manning just abused them. There were guys running open the entire game.
Peyton Manning, to be fair, though, abuses
them. Yeah, but my point is that Robert Griffin isn't going to be that bad. We've got some receivers, the Redskins, and Dallas definitely has plenty of receivers. And they have a guy named Tony Romo that almost set an NFL record last week, did set the Dallas Cowboy record for yardage, and threw one pick at the end of the game, and that's all you heard about all week.
Oh, no,
and I got to tell you something. That all of those – I don't even listen to – I turned it off every time somebody was talking about that because that's like saying, oh, you ran a 349 6 mile and you missed the world record by 2/100ths of a second. You blew it. You know, you're like probably the best miler in the world and somebody's telling you blew it.
Well, if he hadn't thrown that interception, okay, let's say he does not throw that interception.
They might not have won.
And Dallas goes down, and let's say Dallas kicks
a field goal
and Dallas wins.
Yeah.
Is everybody talking about Peyton Manning's interception that could have cost them the game?
No, probably not.
Of course not.
No, because it's not Tony Romo.
People get a hard-on for ripping apart Tony Romo. It's what they love to do because he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and everybody hates the Dallas Cowboys. And I hate Tony Romo. And the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, obviously, I've never heard that come out of you before.
But Tony Romo is a great quarterback. I don't like him because he's a Cowboy. He's a great quarterback.
I agree. I'm on your side.
I know.
Can we talk about something else now? Let's talk about the game. Okay, because I don't care about Romo or Robert Griffin.
Romo is...
We hear too much about Robert Griffin every minute of the day. I'm tired of the guy. I don't even like the guy as much as I used
Tony
to.
Tony Romo is the key to this game.
You know when I liked Robert Griffin? When he was a shy, bashful guy that could run. Now that he doesn't run, he's just like a bunch of quarterbacks. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to lose to Dallas. But it's going to be a good game. And I'm going to tell you, the score is going to be in the 30s, and somebody might be in the 40s.
I still think the Redskins can win this game.
Oh, they can win this game, but Dallas has to turn the ball over. I mean, they got to turn the ball over.
Which is why
Look at our defense.
So
who's
going to
D'Angelo Hall is probably going to cover
Dez Bryant.
He'll
be Dez all
Bryant.
Over Dez.
Well, he's not going to be all over Dez because he runs a 4.7 40.
Let me rephrase.
I mean, Dez runs a 4.28.
Let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
Every time Dez leaves the huddle, D. Hall will line up across from him.
Well, he's got to because they don't have anybody else that even has a clue what Dez is going to do.
Right.
And I agree with you there. I just think that what that's going to do is that's going to make life miserable for everybody else because they got some good guys. You know, by the way, Robert Griffin III's favorite receiver, Williams, is the guy for Dallas that had the big game last week. He's going to have another big game this week. They got a fifth-string
receiver. Miles Austin is back.
They got a fifth-string receiver from East Carolina that's a good receiver. Mm-hmm. They got all kinds of receivers. And you know who I need to have a big game? DeMarco Murray, because he's on my fantasy team. I hope they give DeMarco Murray the ball 30 times.
I have Dez Bryant, and I'm going to try really hard not to cheer for him.
Oh, you're going to cheer for him. Are you going to take the Redskins? That's my question.
I did take the Redskins.
Well, I'm going to take the over because that's the logical move here, I think. It's also, if you look at the weather down there, they've got storms, winds 7 to 12, kickoff temperature, you ready for this, 78 degrees. In my opinion, that's kind of doubt. That's both of their.
Yeah.
You can close the roof.
Well, here's another reason they may cover and win. It's Texas. Robert Griffin's from Texas.
Yeah.
And
he won there.
Plus, he's never lost down there. He won down there last year.
He beat him twice.
Let me tell you, down there, he had the game, though. That was the game. Yeah.
The key to me on the Washington Redskins, could it be Robert Griffin III coming off bye week? Maybe. Look, if the Redskins are going to win, he's going to have a good game. But the people who are going to have a great game are the linebackers for the Washington Redskins.
It's got to be the front. The whole front seven's got to pressure run.
You can talk about D-Hall.
They don't want him running loose.
Yeah. You could talk about D-Hall all day on Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant's going to get his touches, and he's probably going to score a touchdown.
You saw the game. But what a great game. What a great game to watch. That was one of the best games I've ever seen in my life last week for an NFL game. I've seen better college games, but not, you know, there's a lot of good college games because they're all, you know, there's just so many teams that are so close. But that was unbelievable because they just kept going back and forth and back and forth. It was unbelievable and nobody was making a mistake. It was like the defense wasn't there.
Right.
And God knows the defense was there. They were just doing everything perfectly on offense.
But the matchup to watch is not Dez Bryant and D-Hall. It's Witten and whatever linebacker is checking him because Witten is a huge weapon.
Might be a nickelback. Might not be a linebacker. They may go with a nickel against Dallas.
Well, whoever it is has to shut down Witten.
Yeah, you know what? The good news is he won't run away from him. The bad news is he'll use his body as shield. He'll catch 15 passes.
Yeah, he could have 12, 15 catches.
He may end up doing that. My son will be ecstatic if that happens. He's on his fantasy team. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back to Bruce Hall's second opinion.
Final segment coming up
on AM and Tony Mazur on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's second opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here at News Talk 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's second opinion, the Walking Dead pregame show, because that's come on tonight at 8:30, the new season.
You know, I'm not into zombies.
I love that show, dude.
Oh, you guys are crazy.
So awesome. Over-under of 60 zombies killed tonight on the show.
You know, I just can't watch that. There probably is such a thing as zombies. Hey, let me go over my... Oh, we got a phone call.
They all live in Miami.
Hopefully... Is this Tony Mazur? Tony? Hello, Tony. Tony, you on the phone?
Caller, you're on the air.
Or is this Chuck?
He hung up on us.
It's probably Chuck.
Wrong number.
Anyway, we'll get a call back. Anyway, I'm going to start going over my picks. Have you got them on there now?
I think so.
Hey, who's on the line here?
Caller, you're on the air.
You're on the air. Who is this?
All right.
Hello. Might be just a shy guy calling in. Who knows? Either that.
Way to go, Matt.
Yeah, we got great equipment going on here. Anyway, I got Houston -7.5 over St. Louis for 5 stars. I got Seattle -12 over Tennessee for 5 stars. And in some regions, that's 11 now. That's what I hear. I got the Seattle, Tennessee under 42 for 4 stars. Phone call. Caller, who is this?
Hey, there he is.
Tony?
Tony Mazur.
Tony, is that you?
I hear you.
Or is that Chuck? Is anybody there?
Tony Mazur, I can hear you. All right. Well, we're doing real well here.
Seattle, Tennessee under 42 for 4 stars. I got Indianapolis in a pick over San Diego on Monday Night Football.
We didn't even cover that game
for
yet.
5 stars. Yeah, we did. We did it earlier. You just don't remember. You're right. We haven't covered it.
We haven't done that yet.
Well, we'll save that for Tony. Indianapolis, if he ever
can get through.
We'll save that for
Come
Tony.
Come on, man. What's going on? Indianapolis, San Diego, over 51 for 4 stars. I love that. San Francisco, minus 10 over Arizona. You got it the other way. I think you're crazy.
What? No, I
said
San Francisco.
Oh, you took San Francisco. That's your homie.
I was playing Devil's Advocate.
Well, that
advocate.
Was your homie.
No,
yeah, well, you're
my,
playing.
My homie
Well, you know
was...
what? Don't waste our time and play Devil's Advocate homie... on a team you got straight cash homie on.
It's not my then straight we... cash homie.
Then we...
It's
I
not.
Thought it was.
New Orleans.
He played it.
No, he didn't.
Is Tony on the phone?
Matt, who's my straight cash homie? The New Orleans.
Matt
do
doesn't even
listen?
Know what straight
do you
cash
guys listen
homie
to what
is.
I said. Call in right now, 240-317.
Hey, Matt. Matt
I'll give you a T-shirt if you know who my straight cash homie
Matt
is.
Thinks straight cash homie is. Washington, Dallas, over. What did that end up going off at? Was it 51.5?
Who?
Washington, Dallas.
It's 53.5.
Yeah, I got that. 5 stars.
Oh, Tony Mazur, are you here?
Are you here?
I am here.
God, right. Thank you, Tony. Right. Thank you. Now we can talk about the Cleveland game, finally.
Our phone system's about as bad as the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, Tony,
were.
Tony, when's the last time that the Cleveland... That's funny. When was the last time Cleveland and Detroit were both 3-2? It was a long time ago, right?
Probably like 94, I would say.
Well, you know what? This game is so tight. The only thing I hate about – I mean, I would pick Cleveland all day long and just sit and root for them and just feel good about my play if it wasn't for Brandon Whedon. Do I have reason to worry about Brandon Whedon being the quarterback?
Yeah, and I'll be honest. When Brian Hoyer came in there, it was a breath of fresh air for Browns fans everywhere. And you go, wow, there's actually, you know, offense being run. But Whedon is good. And I was arguing with somebody, and they had an excuse. They're saying, well, if given enough time, Whedon can do good things in the pocket. And I said, yeah, so can every quarterback. We don't live in utopia here.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You saw the Thursday night game where he came in there, and yeah, they ended up winning the game, and he did a fine job. I'm not going to say it was a good job because
they let him throw the ball down the field, and he does throw the long ball pretty well. It's the other stuff I worry about him with.
Yeah, that's basically all he has. He's a one dimensional quarterback. We had Derek Anderson in Cleveland back in 2006,
and he wasn't bad. He wasn't bad.
No, but he was really, if you can believe this, Brandon Whedon is a poor man's Derek Anderson.
I believe it.
That he has a big arm, but something between the ears just doesn't click and it doesn't translate. So the Browns may very well win this game, but they're going to win it on the ground because you're going to see guys like Sue and Fairley rush the quarterback, and it's going to open up the field. It's going to open up So Whedon will get smacked around, but if McGahee has a good game and Chris Obanaya and anyone else who they trot out there being a running back, yeah, they're going to have good games. But that's about it because Detroit has, I guess they announced that Calvin Johnson's going to play.
Yeah, he's supposed to play. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that'll be interesting, but you know what? With Calvin Johnson at about 60 or 70%, and I'm pretty sure that's about where he's at. They may not have to double him all that much, you know. And I think that'll turn loose some of the guys in that Cleveland secondary, especially the safeties, to make some tackles, maybe get a little closer to the line of scrimmage. You know, you helped me out a lot this week. I moved some people around on my fantasy team, and Houston defense has sucked this year. They've had injuries, and they're not playing all that well. And I had a chance to pick Cleveland up, and you told me to pick them up, and I did, buddy.
Yeah, well, the receiving core for Detroit's not looking good, and so Reggie Bush is going to have a day on him. But the front seven for the Browns, I got to admit, is really, really strong. Basically, the only Browns weak parts on the defense, they need another strong safety and another corner because Buster Screen, though he's been playing well, not the guy. And so I'd say today. If I get my prediction, the Browns are going to be 4-2 today. The Cleveland Browns, the team that people said 2 wins this season tops, could very well double it today.
Can you imagine that? I mean, and I got to tell you, that front seven you were talking about, all of those players on that,
some no-name guys there that just do a phenomenal job. They're a dog pound group, aren't they? I mean, they are, yeah. The dog pound's got to be after those boys. They must love them when they come in and want, like, say they've got a team inside the 10 down in that end. That must just get crazy there.
And the one guy who's really done it and has a great name for the dog pound is Barkevious Ningo, and he's been all over the field. He's like, and I know Polamalu is a safety, but he's been very Polamalu-esque, where he's on every play. If he's not making the tackle, he's recording a half tackle, or he's just around the ball, and he's really cranked that defense up. And there were concerns when he was drafted out of LSU.
Size.
He was undersized.
Yeah, but he's fine. He's fine because you make up for it with those other guys. Those other guys are huge.
Plus, the new defensive line, or the defensive player, really, is undersized because these offenses are getting faster. You don't see the days of the 300-pound guys are kind of over.
And I don't really see a difference in a 3-4 and a 4-3. I mean, really, you got seven guys, and they all kind of do the same thing.
I mean, look at the Seattle defense. You know, they're all speed rushers.
Well, the Seattle defensive backs are big, too. Listen, how is Hayden? He's healthy, isn't he? Is he completely healthy?
Joe
Hayden.
Absolutely. And you're taking a look at where, you know, Darrell Revis kind of wasting away in Tampa. He's having a little bit of remorse right now.
You think?
He's sitting there looking at Greg Schiano, who's ruling the place like he's Vince Lombardi on a stallion. And he's...
It's scary. So, hey, listen...
Hayden, I'd say Hayden's a top three. You're looking at Richard Sherman, who's just a phenomenal corner. Joe Hayden's right there. And as I always say, if you don't hear anything about your corners, it means they're doing their job.
If you hear
about them, that means they're blowing coverage, they're getting tripped up, they're holding, they're pass interference, what have you. But if you don't hear anything from your corner and you don't hear the guy he's covering is getting enough targets, then he's doing his job, and he's doing a great. So, therefore, you'll hear Joe Hayden in the warm-ups, and they'll announce him in the lineup and maybe a couple times during the game, but that's about it.
Yeah. On the other side of the ball, Tony, Josh Gordon is back, and he looks to be in stride, but now you have Whedon coming back at quarterback. How much does that affect Gordon's threat? I know that you're talking about Whedon is a guy who he's not as mobile. He can't roll out as really at all. How does that affect the downfield passing game of the Cleveland Browns?
It really affects them. And again, if given enough time in the pocket, as they say for Whedon, he can do something. He can air it out. Problem is he going to hit his targets? Because he's known for hit it. He has a better shot of aiming for the guy with the popcorn in row C rather than hitting his receivers in stride. I mean, a lot of his passes were behind people. And Josh Gordon, in that Thursday night game against Buffalo, made a phenomenal play because the ball was underthrown. He tipped it a couple times to himself, and it was incredible. So Josh Gordon, but see, here's the problem, though, is it's a new regime. And you heard this week that San Francisco is interested in trading for Josh Gordon.
Yeah, I've heard a couple teams.
Atlanta, I don't even know who's at receiver for them anymore. And I wouldn't be surprised. And this new regime wants their guy. Josh Gordon's not their guy. Brandon Whedon's not their guy. Trent Richardson, as you saw, was not their guy. And it just so happened that Brian Hoyer was. And I guess we'll see going forward what they plan on doing. The trade deadline's coming on up.
Josh Gordon moves? Do you think we see him move?
If he moves, I think he's going to Atlanta.
If he moves, he better do it in a hurry because Atlanta's going to have too many losses if they wait too long.
Yeah.
Atlanta to me looks terrible. They absolutely look. Hey, who's your pick of the day? Do you have a favorite pick out there?
Yes, I do. And I am going. And I'll shock.
Did you hit? Didn't you hit last week?
I got Kansas City.
Yeah, you did.
We both had Kansas.
Well, I picked against him. Actually, I didn't. Did I? No,
I picked against him.
I didn't pick him. Who did they play, Tony? Remind me.
Tennessee last week.
That's right. I had Tennessee, and I had them because I thought they'd win. And you know what? All Tennessee did was drop balls, which is I'm going to get that play back this week because I bet against Tennessee this week. But who's your pick this week?
My pick of the week, you're going to be surprised by this. I'm going with St. Louis over Houston.
Oh, and that's probably a smart play because everybody's on Houston.
We just need to call Tony every week and just have him pick against
Maybe we should just pick. Yeah, I'm on Houston because I just don't think they can play any worse.
Second week
the spread is 9. Houston minus 9.
It's gone to 9 late because it was 7.5. I think it was 7.5 this morning.
Why is it so high? I mean, I'm not saying St. Louis is that good of a team, but I think they may not win, but I think they'll cover.
Let me tell you why nobody likes St. Louis, because their defense absolutely sucks. They're not playing well at all. And this is supposedly a defensive coach in Jeff Fisher, and they're just not doing it. Everybody they've played against, their offense is getting a little bit better, but they really don't have a running back.
Jeff Fisher has come up on every single coaching hunt in college football.
Yeah, I think he wants out of the NFL.
I don't know how much longer he's going to be in
St.
Louis.
Jeff Fisher went to USC and played there, so he may end up being the USC head coach. Well, I'm going to tell you know what, Tony? You're going to talk me out of my straight cash homie play? No, you're not, Tony. Is there anybody else out there you like? Hey, let me ask you this. I'm going to give you a game. Green Bay at Baltimore, since it's right here. I mean, that, to me, you know, Flacco's 10-0 against the NFC. They're at home. They got a better defense, even though it's not a great defense yet, than Green Bay. But Green Bay's got Aaron Rodgers and all those weapons. Who do you take?
You know, I got to go Green Bay because Flacco and...
He must be reading my blog. That's...
Are you reading
Tony,
Roy's
do you
blog?
Know the sportsman.
Hey, game. Listen. Hey, I'm going to call. Hey, as soon as we get off, we got to be gone in about 15, 20 seconds. But, Tony, I'm going to give you a call today. Good luck with your picks.
Great minds think alike, Tony.
Yeah, hey, Roy, you have a great day. Matthew, great job again. We'll be back next week with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.